Go ahead, lift your hands to heaven and ask for a drink. We want to stay filled with the Spirit. It is important to be filled with the Spirit of the living God. Amen? Because you can't receive the things of the Spirit unless you're in the Spirit. It makes it very difficult. Hallelujah. This is the night the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We have been discussing the arena of emotional attachments, and we are continuing on tonight. You know, it is an area where when we really become sensitive to the things what God is trying to express in us, you will find so much more victory. So much more victory in your life. And, how many of y'all have been challenged from the commitment you made last Friday night? Are willing to do whatever it takes? Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm willing to do whatever it takes my way. I'm going to tell you, you will be challenged. In this, you must be willing to do whatever it takes. There is a price in freedom. Jesus paid the price. Amen. Now, he paid the price for me and you to access freedom. Freedom is learned, and trust is earned. Amen. That's why Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come and what? Learn from me. Hallelujah. You know, one of the most important things is the area is to be consistent. 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 Does everybody understand this? Consistent. You know, let me share this with you that the lesson, in other words, the lessons that we get, amen, is the lesson, when you get the lesson, you get the blessing. Amen? That's why the Bible tells us, forsake not to assemble. Because there are so many things that the Spirit is doing right now when people are not assembling and they're missing what God is doing. And they think, well, I just gonna do it. I'll catch it up. No. And right now, discipline is a major factor. You must be disciplined no matter how you feel or what's going on, but to do the right thing. In your spirit, you already know what the right thing is. Now you got to do it. Amen? You just do it. And this is where emotional attachments are hindering individuals. Because they become men pleasers instead of God pleasers. Amen? And in the challenges, when the enemy comes to challenge, because he's going to challenge you in everything you learn. Why? Because he's there to steal what you've learned. Because the enemy is there to continue to try to implement his image and likeness in your life and negate the image and likeness of Christ. Are you with me? Praise God. So if you're here for the first time and coming into this teaching, I encourage you to get the first teaching, and it's emotional attachments. 1. Would you turn to the book of Romans, please? Romans chapter 7. In verse 14, in Romans 7:14 through 25, would you read it with me? For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. How many of y'all have ever felt that way? If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but what? Sin that dwells in me. Now, sin is the presence of evil. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh or your carnal. Is everybody with me? Or your carnal. Your carnal is considered your flesh, your carnal mind, your carnal will. In other words, the old man is considered flesh. Too many people just think that the flesh is the flesh out here. No, the flesh is associated with everything carnal in your being. The old man. Remember, Adam and Eve had a glorified body until they sinned. Then what happened? They became flesh. Hello? And their spirit, soul, and body was no longer one. It became divided. So they became carnal. The Bible talks about the carnal mind. It's associated with the flesh. Okay? So it's just not your outside fleshy stuff here. It's associated with everything carnal. So you and I were born in darkness. We were born in flesh. We were little flesh creatures. Amen? Praise God. Let's go a little further. Let's read 18 again. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now this is Paul speaking. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find in a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. In other words, he's saying, listen, I will to do good, but I'm finding that there's evil present in me. He's calling this flesh, carnal. Does everybody understand this? See, this is why the Bible says that your flesh is to be crucified if you're led by the Spirit. Why? Because your carnal is now on the cross. But if you're not led by the Spirit, your carnal is off of the cross. That's why those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. But those who are led by the flesh are sons of the devil. So every choice that you make is going to be a reflection of the image you portray in yourself. If you see yourself as a son of God, you're going to begin to respond in that area, aren't you? If you see yourself as the son of the enemy, you're going to come against the things. Does everybody understand that? See, but Paul was beginning to see something that sin dwelled in him, even though God delivered him. You've got to remember, this was probably written years after his encounter with the Lord. Years. Now, Paul was walking upright with God for 14 years. In fact, after his encounter with the Lord, he went and hid for 14 years almost, and then came back out. He didn't hang with so many people. He just didn't hang. He was seeking God, and that's where he was getting revelations and so forth. But he's still saying, listen, man, I still find sin that's present in me. Why? Because the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is still in you. That's carnal. It is not removed and cannot be removed. The day it's removed, you're home. Hello. So that's why we must take dominion over it. But there's something associated with this. Now I'm going to share this with you here in a second, so just hang tough, all right? Let's go a little further. In verse 22, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from myself? Who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus the Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. In other words, with the carnal mind. Now I want to share something that's very important here because I really believe that Paul was beginning to what we label, because remember something, things are labeled so that we have understanding on them. I believe Paul was beginning to reveal something of his conscious and subconscious. He was beginning to see two states here. Wait a minute. The things that I don't want to do, I'm doing, and I don't get it. Because there's a presence of evil in me. There's something going on that I don't want to do, but I'm still doing it. I don't find myself continually doing this, what I'm supposed to be doing. But, I mean, come on, everybody look at Paul, man. The dude was pretty close to the image and likeness of Christ, wasn't he? I mean, he did shoot off his mouth a couple times, you know, and get angry at some people and whatever, and probably wanted to kick some butt, but he held himself back and repented quickly. It doesn't mean that he didn't make any mistakes. It means that he was sensitive enough to get back into the relationship and divine position with God. Paul was conscious of things, but he was beginning to realize something about what we might call subconscious of things. And you know, a subconscious is, in other words, like when you're asleep. Amen? When you're asleep, your subconscious takes over. Because conscious is a representation that you have control of. But you don't have control of something when you're sleeping, do you? But I'm going to tell you something. If the truth is truly, truly imparted in your spirit, you will have victory even in your dreams. See, because that's associated with a belief system, isn't it? See, and your belief system is going to associate with your self-image, who you see yourself as. Are you with me? Oh, hallelujah. See, the devil still attacks you while you sleep, while you're sleeping, doesn't he? Yeah. But there's another part, it seems like something that you're a part of still awake sometimes when you're sleeping, because when you wake up, you go, whoa, I was tempted in this and tempted in that, but I didn't fall to it. You know why? Because your belief system changed. And you, why? Because your belief now is associated in your sub, what the carnal world calls subconscious. I call spirit. See, you and I were born, right, in the image and likeness of darkness. Amen? You weren't born no angel, I can tell you that. Ask your parents. You know, we weren't born angels, you know. I mean, come on, you see the little flesh creatures running around. They're going to do their will no matter what. They don't even care about consequences most of the time. You know, I mean, in other words, you know, they do the things that they want to do. Not that they like to do, that they just want to do. That doesn't matter. They're going to do it. Sometimes they'll do things just to irritate you. And they don't even know why they're doing it. But there's something in them that knows how to get to you sometimes. But see, they don't even think about it. They don't even have to think about how to do something. You're going like, man, how did you do that? They didn't even think. I mean, they didn't go to no school to learn how to walk in the flesh. They were born with it. They were born with the knowledge of how to walk in the flesh. Hello. So then when you get born again, I mean, you know, then you begin to see things. And of course, the things of your environment begin to impart things. And then you become part of it. Then you would dream. Sometimes you'd have a dream like you're going to fly and you can't get off the ground. You know, because you really don't believe it yet. Are you with me? So Paul was beginning to realize that there was two areas within him, and it was associated with his belief system. Now, I believe that your heart is the character of your spirit. I believe that your heart not only expresses your conscious, but your subconscious. Because it's associated in the spirit. not in the natural. Come on, you get that? Subconscious is associated, I believe, with the old nature of a belief system that the enemy uses. That's why we do the things we don't want to do. In some areas, there is dominion, which is the reinstatement of the original divine nature. Amen? Because you have been born again. And so we see the process. That's why the Bible tells us not to forsake assembling. Let me tell you something. You know, in big businesses, the successful ones are the ones that attend all the meetings. You know why? Because they're constantly being encouraged. They're constantly beating down the thoughts of defeat. They're constantly beating down the thoughts of discouragement and so forth. Why? They're constantly being encouraged. And eventually it becomes a part of their belief system and gets imparted in them where it's now associated with their subconscious to where they already believe they've got it and they're just waiting for it to manifest. See, but that's one of the things the enemy loves to do is to remove people from fellowship in any area they can. Why? Because he knows that if he can prevent the image and likeness of Christ to be imparted in us, that the image and likeness of the Antichrist will take dominion. Are you with me? It is important by the new belief system and how you see yourself positioned in divine order. Divine order is important. Let me tell you something. Because if you're not in divine order, you'll never see yourself in the image and likeness of Christ. It's impossible. You must be in divine order. Are you with me? Sin is the presence of evil that rejects the self, image, and likeness or the character of God's offsprings. Amen? God's image. Adam and Eve had glorified bodies again that were stolen as well as their self-image of the likeness of God. It was all stolen, wasn't it? So we see here then that the image and likeness of the character of the, I'm going to say, Antichrist, right? Because anti means that it comes against the image and likeness of Christ, or the anointing, what we call. Because they believed the serpent, and the serpent, of course, entered Eve, and then the serpent that entered Eve deceived Adam. See, now Eve couldn't have deceived Adam unless the image. See, she saw herself as something different now. She didn't see herself as the way God portrayed her. She saw herself in another arena. So she allowed the serpent to use her and enter her. And then she gave the fruit to Adam without telling him. Amen? She could have said, listen, the serpent deceived me and he gave me this fruit. Now I ate it already. You want to try some? He would have probably said no. But she couldn't be honest with him because now she found another source. And the source was a liar, a thief, a killer, and a murderer. Did y'all get this? Now she found another source, and that source, who she served, became a slave to it and didn't even know it. Now she was out doing things she didn't even want to do, but she didn't know why she was doing them. Because now she portrayed another image. And the image and likeness of God was replaced with the image and likeness of flesh, fallen nature, the enemy. Hello? Good. Now, I'm going to turn to Genesis 4. Yeah, let's go to Genesis 4. This is all going to, you know, do you ever go to one of those puzzles and they have all these dotted lines and you're wondering what the outcome picture is going to be? Well, we'll get there. Just keep connecting the dotted lines. In Genesis chapter 4, are you there? In verse 3. And it says, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry in his what? Continents what?
Fell.
So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why have has your continence fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? Oh, wow. Will you not be what? Accepted. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Wow. So he's saying, listen, I'm expecting something. You've already been taught it. Now I'm going to ask you to do it because you know how many people refuse to tithe? I'm going to use this as an example. They're so dependent on themselves and their work and their hours that they're confident that they can make enough money without moving in the supernatural. See, you must sow in the supernatural to get supernatural. Amen? You must sow in the supernatural to get supernatural. So many times people are holding on to things, not willing to sow into the supernatural so that the supernatural can move on their behalf. Amen? So here, now, he knew exactly what moved God. He knew exactly what sacrifice and offering was accepted. Because it was shown in the garden, Adam and Eve already knew, and they were telling their kids what was acceptable and what was not acceptable. But the Lord said, listen, man, if you look at, just go back and fix it, all right, and it will be accepted. Come on. Now, sin is trying to prevent you from doing the right thing. Sin, the image and likeness of the enemy, the presence of evil, because sin means the presence of evil, is trying to prevent you from doing the right thing that you can be accepted. Now, the word doesn't mean, I'll accept you. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying that I can move on your behalf. Because the acceptable offering was going to be according to divine order so I can move on your behalf. So what was the Lord trying to get? He was just trying to get him in divine order, wasn't he? He's trying to get him in divine position so he could what? Move on his behalf. Does everybody get it? But he realized that the presence of evil was there trying to prevent him from getting in divine position so God could move on his behalf. Hallelujah. God was trying to maintain Cain's focus so he could have rule, amen, or reject the rule of evil's self-image of pride and disrespect. Because he disrespected the Lord by bringing that offering. At least God didn't kill him. You know, he could have made him an offering right there. You're accepted. Does everybody get this? Okay. Now, in this, I want to share something very important because when the Lord began to remove it, now let's go a little further. Now, we know that Cain talked with Abel and his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Hello. Killed him. Now, what happened? Didn't the Lord send him away then? He sent him away, okay? Now, listen, the same thing that happened in the garden happened right here. It just repeated itself. Did you ever hear anything about history repeating itself? Well, history does repeat itself. It always repeats itself. But I'm telling you, because that's according to the carnal nature. But in the spirit, you can stop history from repeating itself. You can do that. Why? Because you have dominion and authority. It can stop repeating itself in your life. There was three emotional attachments that really hit big time here. And I really believe that these are the three major emotional attachments. And I know that there's others and we'll talk about some other things. But this emotional attachment happened because when Adam and Eve fell, what was the first thing that hit them? Fear. Amen. And one of the most powerful emotional attachments is fear, isn't it? I believe the second one that hit them was rejection, and the third one was regret. There was fear, rejection, and regret. Would you read it? Say it with me? Fear, rejection, and regret. Make sure you write it down. Fear, rejection, and regret. Those are three emotional attachments that manifested, and it continued to promote the self-image of man in the likeness of the offspring of darkness. Didn't he want to steal the image and likeness of God? Yes, he did. And Satan replaced it with his image. So how was he going to continue to enslave them by making emotional attachments? So the first one was fear, the second one was rejection, and the third one was regret. Think about how many times that's affected your life. Where you had a self-image, where you were afraid, you were even afraid of being rejected, and then you beat yourself up in regret of what you did. And it portrayed a self-image that prevented you from moving forward. All glory. You know what else these do? They begin to harden the heart. They begin to harden your heart. These emotional attachments begin to harden your heart. And I want you to know that every emotional attachment has a spirit. Glory to God. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to share this. We've talked about this before, but I want to get this in. Every thought has an image, right? Every thought has a what? Image. Every image has a what? Feeling. Come on, were you here last week? Every thought has a what? Image. Every image has a what? Feeling. Every feeling has a what? Emotion, and every emotion is associated with a habit. Every emotion is associated with a habit. Every emotion has a habit, doesn't it? And of course, we know that these emotional attachments are associated with spirits. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. Hallelujah. It's amazing in how the psychological world and they don't know how to get to the roots of things, you know? So they medicate people. I was watching this thing on TV. And there was an ad for some oppression medication. I'm like, man, you know what one of the side effects was? Suicide. I'm telling you. I looked at my wife, I said, did you hear what I just heard? She said, yes. That's one of the side effects of the medication, of oppression. Well, just kill yourself and get it over with. Suicide. I thought, man, they're out there. You know, these doctors are out there prescribing this stuff, won't take it themselves. Side effect of oppression, medication, suicide. Don't resolve the whole thing. Why prolong anything? You know, just give the person a gun and say, here. I mean, that's what they're really doing, aren't they? They actually think it's helping people. Side effects. Suicide. Whew, incredible. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? For you see your calling, brother. You what? You see. Every thought has a what? An image. Do you see images? Yes, images associated with imagination. That's the window, isn't it? That's a window. So your imagination, when people say, oh, what an imagination that kid has. You know what? That's just a part of his character and how God created us. Because every thought has an image. And these children, some of them have phenomenal imaginations, man. You know what? Some of these kids that you could see them drawing and stuff. It's like, where did you get that from? Well, you know, if it's got horns and a tail and, you know, a pitchfork, you know where it came from, right? But there are some people that are just, some of these children are just very talented. that can draw. And you can, I mean, you'll be driving down somewhere and then they can pick up something real quick. And then next thing you know, they're drawing it when they get home. And they very specific of everything. It's because their imagination took, their eyes took a picture of it and got implanted, just like a camera. And they were able to see it. So they were able to implement it in the thought system so they didn't forget it. They didn't forget it. When it came time to draw it, they just went to the image, because every thought has an imagination, and they just took it and put it on paper. See, so your imagination is the window to the things of the spirit realm also. Amen? Does everybody get this? So when he says here, you see your calling, what was he trying to say? Listen, I want you to see it. I want you to imagine it. Because as a man thinks, so he what? Is. So if a man can think it, he's going to see it, isn't he? And he's going to respond and react in that arena of what he sees. Let's go a little further. For you see your calling, brother, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty or not many noble are called. Now, what's he beginning to do? He's beginning to share, listen, this has got nothing to do with your talent and your ability. We're talking about a whole nother realm. Not many wise, not many whatever, noble, high, you know, all of these scholars, not many of them have been called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. In other words, when he's talking about the things that are things that man has built. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. You see your calling. What limits us from seeing who we are of the self-image of God's creation is our flesh, our carnal nature, and the belief system associated with your subconscious. I feel like a psychology class or something, you know. But it's not. Why? Because our flesh is associated with the old self-image. And the enemy is going to try and keep it alive by emotional attachments. Are you all getting this? How is he going to keep your old man alive? Emotional attachments. Now, there are healthy and unhealthy emotional attachments. And we'll talk more about that. So when you see your calling, right? Calling is who you are, not what you're supposed to do. It's who you are in Christ. Just like when you were born into the carnal world, that image and likeness of the character of darkness reigned in your life. That's why you must be born again. Amen? So when you are born again, the character and the image and likeness of Christ is imparted in you, but we must cooperate so it has dominion in us. You know, it's just like when you ride a bicycle. Once you learn how to ride the bicycle, now, you can get hit by a car by a mistake, and that fear can prevent you from getting on the bicycle. And you could also have a sense of rejection because the car didn't respect you. Or maybe the car ran the red light, you know? So you can have a sense of rejection, right? Because people don't respect you on the bike. And then you can also portray and come in agreement with regret because you should have gone another way. But do you understand on how the enemy makes emotional attachments to prevent you from walking in the image and likeness of Christ? But there's something that stays there no matter what. You could be off that bike for 10 years and all of a sudden get back on it and ride it. Why? Because it's a belief system that's been imparted how to ride that bike in your subconscious. You believe it and you know it. And you just get on that bike and go. You don't think anything about it. Same thing with people in car accidents. They just get in the car and drive. But the fear is gripping them, going, man, I don't know if it's been a long time since I've done this. And they turn the key and bing. Everything goes off. Boom. I know how to do this. Whoa. I thought I would. See, because it's a belief that you've already done it, you've experienced it, and you believe it. That's a part of your subconscious now, isn't it? Y'all get this? You just get on there and go. You don't think anything about it. In fact, everybody gets in the car now. Does it even go, let's see, parallel park, let's see, 3 feet from the curb or whatever. Or maybe it's a foot from, I don't know. You know, people just get in and they're gone. What is behind me does not matter. Hallelujah. So, seeing your calling is seeing your who you are. And the first thing that we must see, and we've talked about this before, that we must see is that we are what? We must see the divine self-image as a child of God. How many of y'all are children of God here tonight? Great. You know what the enemy's going to try to always do? Challenge you whether you are or not. That's the first thing. You know how you combat that? I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. That's why your confessions every day. We're going to talk more about this later. So the first thing that we must see our divine self-image as a child of God first. Why? Because you're a new creation. The second thing we must see ourselves as a child of the King, belonging to a kingdom, and having ruling capabilities. Yes. Ruling capabilities. You're a child of the King. The third thing is we must see ourselves as an heir with an inheritance belonging to a royal family. Now, I'm going to share this, that if you just did this one time, the enemy would come and steal it all. The next day, when he attacks you and saying, you're a child of God, who? I thought you were a child of the King. What King? Don't you have an heir? Aren't you an heir of the King, the Most High God? What? See, these things must be imparted, implanted, sown, established, and grown into your belief system. When Jesus was attacked, what was he? Are you truly the Son of God? What was the devil trying to do? Remove the self-image he had of who he was. He was trying to remove his identity. See, he tries to move your identity. That's why people go back to the world. Because they've never truly accepted the identity that was paid the price for them. And they've not maintained that identity and that self-image. So the third thing is we are an heir and have an inheritance belonging to a royal family. The fourth thing is that we are called to service of the King, representing the kingdom. Amen? And by representing the kingdom, that means that we have been granted dominion in a specific time. At some specific time, God will use you. And the fifth thing is that we are granted a mentor to teach and train us as to kingdom protocols, ethics, and it's to better position you with understanding. You are granted a mentor. And who is the mentor? The Holy Spirit. He's the nanny, the mentor, and so forth. Why? Because it's a down payment of your inheritance. He's the down... Man, if he's the down payment of your inheritance, just think what your inheritance is. And the sixth thing is you are no longer belonging to the earth as your home. You are no longer... The earth is no longer your home. Man, people want to make this place their home because they're still portraying the self-image of the Father of beneath instead of the Father of above. And of course, you're not alone. Everybody goes through this. And the seventh thing is you are no longer human, but eternal. In a divine nature of the King's image and likeness. You are no longer human, but eternal. In a divine nature of the King's image and likeness as a soldier of eternal army.
Glory.
Now here's the other thing that comes along with that. And you have access to every weapon in favor of the King. Why? Because defeat is not an option. Defeat is not an option. In other words, your thought system now should no longer, if you're truly a child of God, this is where the Lord says, those who are mine hear my voice. If you truly are a child of God and you truly believe that you're a child of a King, right? And you truly believe that you have an inheritance and a royalty and you're a part of a royal family. And you believe that God has paid the price for you to have all of these things and you accept it and it's a part of your belief system and you see things differently now, then you know that you know that you know that you know that you know you are eternal. You know it. I can't die. My flesh will die. Thank God. Why? If flesh is associated with the what? Carnal, isn't it? Now, I'm not telling everybody to go out and kill themselves. But that's something that you can look forward to, not fear. You can look forward to. I'm not telling everybody, yeah, man, I can't wait to die. You know, I'm just sharing with you. We've got a purpose and a function to fulfill why we're here on this side. But if the self-image that you're portraying now is more in the likeness and image of Christ, you will come to a point where you don't fear death. In fact, Jesus struggled with that, didn't he? But he still knew. He came into the world to die. Right? Are you all right? So in this, then you know that you have the favor of God no matter what. You just got to go through the circumstance. No matter what. Go to Philippians 3. Glory. In verse 12. Philippians 3:12. And Paul said something that, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do is what? Forgetting those things which are what? Where? In front? On the side. Under your feet. Above your head. Behind. Behind. Behinder. Hello? Behind. Behind. When Jesus said, get behind me, he meant it. Get behind me. Why? Because you're a stumbling block. I'm not going to look. And what did he tell Peter? He said, man, your focus is nothing but on the fleshly arena. Get behind me. Get where? Behind me. I don't want to see it. See, when things are behind you, you can't see it unless you're carrying a rearview mirror, which some people do. They want to check everything behind them. Whoa, yeah. I mean, their focus is more on behind them instead of in front of them. And they get into a lot of accidents, don't they? I'm talking spiritually. In verse 14, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as have mature Hello? Have this mind. In other words, who believe. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained it, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example. Quit looking behind. The only time you need to look behind is to what? Sever. Sever. Two things from your behind. You sever it and you learn from it. You do what? Sever it and learn from it. We always sever the past and learn from it. Our limitations of the self-image of the divine nature and character of Christ are associated with emotional attachments. Because as a man thinks, so he what? Is. And the enemy's always going to try and bring your behind in front of you. And it's not a pretty sight. Because people struggle with their past. Remember, the old man is associated with his image and likeness of darkness. So you want to constantly sever those things, don't you? And press forward, no matter what it takes. Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 8. Paul said that he counted it all dung. I count that stuff all garbage, man. My past. Mr. Religion himself. Saul, who became Paul. Ooh, he found out that religion didn't do any good. But when he found the truth, it was an opportunity to set him free from his past. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, would you read it with me? Verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is what? Acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. It's amazing on how many people will hang with them instead of expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, awake. Everybody say, awake. Awake. You who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you what? Light. Expose unfruitful beliefs. Now, we know that feelings are attached to emotions, aren't they? Right? So you're the expose these unfruitful beliefs. Because an unfruitful belief system is associated with your feelings. Because your feelings are like senses. But what you've believed in your past have now dictated what you feel. So these feelings are also attached to emotional attachments. Emotions are the areas where you what? React. Because emotion is actually a voice. Do this. Why? Because of feelings. So if your belief system is messed up, your feelings are messed up. Why? Because feelings are associated with what you sense, what you perceive. Man, there's some people I get around and tell me, they perceive this and they perceive that and they sense this. And I'm like, man, you're off the wall. It is nothing that's in that room. But I don't say anything then. I just think, you know, they need to change their beliefs. The old man needs to die big time. Glory to God. So we see that we're to expose unfruitful beliefs that are attached, are associated with feelings and attached emotions. Established in secret or in... Remember, he says something here to verify. He says, awake. Awake. Why? Awake. Because it's what? Asleep. And where is he talking about now? Subconscious. He's talking about what? The subconscious. Because he says what? Awake, you who what? Sleep. Come on. Get that belief system so your subconscious is more awake now and not deceived by the wrong self-image of darkness. Awake to the divine nature and expose the self-image that has been imparted in you from the day you were born. 2 Corinthians 10. Remember the areas where the things that you're doing that you don't want to do. Man, why did I do that? I know better than that. Why did I do it? Because you don't believe it yet. It's all here. Not here. Oh man, I've been a believer for 60 years and I still can't get this over with. Because you don't believe it yet. Your belief system must be altered, changed into the truth. The Bible says truth sets you free. And the thing that keeps bringing it back also is because emotional attachments. What are they doing? Those emotional attachments are keeping the old man alive. Man, why am I still doing what I'm doing? Because you haven't exposed that. And we'll talk more about the fight and how to kick butt. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, hello, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not, they're not carnal, isn't that something? They're not fleshly. But mighty in God for pulling down a stronghold. And a stronghold is what? A memory lie. Something that you've accepted as a truth and it's declaring your self-image. So your thoughts cause you to see. As a man thinks, so he is. Why is he associated with what he thinks? Because what he's thinking is what he is seeing. And that's that self-image that's portrayed. But our weapons are for pulling down those lies. Why? Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the character or the self-image of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Whoa! And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The weapon is your authority that's been already granted to you. See, but if you're not portraying the self-image and the likeness of Christ with authority, people don't take the authority. They just take the thought. And no authority. Remember, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace on earth. I came to bring you peace. You notice he said, it's powerful, because he said, I didn't come to bring peace on earth, but I came to bring you a sword. Why? So you could get peace once you sever it. The weapons is your authority in removing limitations of the belief system or thought, which causes images that cause false feelings, and it causes emotional attachments, which we now call habits. That's why a person has a habit, reacts every time, real quick, whatever it is. Hey, man, what you doing? Hey, what did I do? Whoa. Did you ever get around somebody like that? You call her name. Hey, such and such. What did I do? I wasn't there. Man, I just wanted to know if you needed any money. Oh, yeah. You know, it's a whole different story then. Oh, yeah. Why, did I steal it? No, you didn't. Do you understand that self-image? That habit? People have a habit in running every time something happens to them. They're gone. Woo-hoo. Whether it's guilt or shame or whatever, because the things that have been happened to them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, is everybody there? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, would you read it with me? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Yeah, if you can believe it. You are a new creation. Everyone say, I'm a new creation. In the anointing. Oh. See, the word Christ means anointed one, doesn't it? So you are a new creation where? In the anointing. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Remember we said that you get a mentor now, don't you? The Holy Spirit is your mentor. Amen? He's the mentor. So he's going to mentor you. He's going to guide you to all truth. He's going to be there with you. As long as you are communicating with him, he's going to help expose you. Why? Because he wants to get rid of your old image. You mean my trials and testings are exposure? Yes. The lesson causes the testing. And the testing brings the blessing. Once you pass. People are trying to get to the blessing without the testing. It don't work. You'd be self-imposed blessing and it won't last. Are you all okay? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. Little children, it is the last hour, as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. What's an Antichrist? It's associated with the old man. Why? It comes against the image and likeness of Christ. It's called Antichrist. Everybody keeps thinking that it's just some one dude. And I'm not saying it isn't, because the Antichrist, the head of the Antichrist will come. Satan, who is the Antichrist, will eventually put on flesh and come into the natural realm. But he's not only talking about the head of the Antichrist, he's saying that there's many Antichrists right now. And it's associated with your old nature. And those who are not born again are Antichrists. You mean my mother and father are not saved and born again? They're Antichrist? You betcha. They're going to come against Christ, the anointing. Why? Because he's going to guide you to all truth. That's what religion is all about. People think that this religious stuff is, I went to church, but I still do the things I don't want to do. And what? Why? Because Antichrist is still running their lives. Why? They have a self-image. And it's not the self-image of Christ. Because the belief system hasn't been established yet. They're still responding or reacting in the emotional attachments and keeping alive the old man, which is actually the Antichrist. That's why some of your first responses are fleshly. Hello? Somebody drops something on your toe? What's your first thought? Oh, bless you. Here, take the other one. Yeah. What about when your boss shorts you a book? That's it, I'm quitting. Somebody doesn't do something the way you wanted to do, you get offended. Ew. That's it, I'm done. What image is that? Boneheaded image, that's what it is. It's Antichrist. It's not acting or responding according to the way Christ's character is. Hello? You can tell a freak right away. You can just, record your responses that day. Whether the responses according to the new man or reactions according to the old man. Just keep yourself a list and challenge yourself every day. At the end of the day, see who won. Oh, it got quiet here real quick. Hallelujah. Go to verse. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's keep going. Verse 19. It says that, remember they talked about the what? Antichrist. They went out from us. Hello. But they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. See, they didn't want to change. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But see, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You do know all things. You just have to tap into it to know all things. Listen, you're listening to someone that at one time could barely read. And I was scared to death at one time to read. When my teacher used to call me to read, I would shake. Hubba, 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 hubba. I couldn't say the word. And I would go home and get beat because I couldn't read. And I didn't want to read. I was afraid of books. But when Jesus showed up and the anointing began to teach me, when I would get frustrated and I would get ready to lay down the Bible, he'd say, pick it up. You are a new creation, he used to tell me. And you can do all things through Christ. And he would tell me and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it to me and repeat it to me. Finally, I busted through and I didn't care what I picked up. I read more books in 1 year than I did my whole life. You can ask my wife. Began to kick butt on that deaf and dumb spirit that portrayed the self-image that I was unworthy and fearful of touching a book. I mean, I went to tutors and everything. They couldn't do nothing with me. I was so afraid of going to the tutor. The only thing I wanted was the candy afterwards. You got that candy? Come on, I sat here for an hour with you. And I get home, did you learn anything? No. But I got the candy. I was fulfilling the flesh. Those are made manifest. Those still are carnal. And the belief system, the secular world is under the Antichrist. Does everybody get it? The secular world is under the Antichrist. It's coming against the image and likeness of Christ. Your old man is the birth of the Antichrist. That's why your first response most of the time is Antichrist. Until your belief system is totally changed. And now it's imparted in your subconscious or in your spirit. In verse 27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, dude. Hello. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him or in the anointing or in the mentor or in the Holy Spirit. He is your way out. Jesus paid the price for you to have his spirit. Did you hear what I just said? He paid the price for you to have his spirit. Did Jesus know all things? Oh, yeah. You have the same spirit. But see, the enemy is still, through the emotional attachments, coming against the image and likeness of Christ. I got to tell you something powerful, okay? In a minute. While we're in, go to verse 15 while we're here. He says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who abides in the will of God abides forever. See why? Because he's trying to say, listen, the world is secular and it's under the sway of the Antichrist. So if you love the world, you're still fulfilling the image, the self-image of the child of darkness. That's why he says, come out. Amen? Come out. Remember, the Holy Spirit's function is to restore us back into the image and likeness of Christ. That's why he came, so it would change our belief system that all things are possible to those who believe. Hello? That's why he said, greater things we would do as soon as our belief system corresponds with the mind of Christ. Greater things that we would do. Again, remember, and go to there for a second, Matthew 4. And Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. I just want to show you. Remember, the Christ came into the world. And who did he meet? Antichrist. Hello? Mr. Antichrist himself showed up in the wilderness. Yes. And in verse 4, And this is powerful. Well, no. Go to verse 3. Now when the tempter came to him, he said what? If you are the Son of God. What was he trying to do? Remove his identity. See, you have a new identity now. But there is a fight over your old identity and your new identity. That's why emotional attachments are going to activate your old identity. And your old identity is associated with the secular world under the sway of the Antichrist. That's why we must sever emotional attachments. And we're going to talk more about that. Now, how did Jesus respond? And Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, we've heard that scripture over and over. But man cannot live by bread alone, carnal food. Man cannot live by what the devil says, but by every word what God says about you is how you'll live. Do y'all get this? See, remember, this is the first one. When the devil came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God. And what did Jesus say? He turns around and says, listen, man can't live by your words. They can't live by your words alone in the natural realm, because eventually they're going to die, aren't they? But they can live by every word that proceeds out of my mouth, out of the mouth of God. Why? Because if they believe what I'm telling them, who they are. Remember, the attack was about self-image. It wasn't about the food. Come on, Jesus could have not eaten for 2 years and still lived. In Isaiah 55 and verse 8, Now, when Jesus said, man will live by every word that proceeds out of my mouth, those are God's thoughts, aren't they? Those are God's thoughts. He's speaking. Now look at what he says in verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now he's talking carnal, isn't he? He's talking to them in comparison to your carnal thoughts are not like my thoughts. Your carnal ways are not like my ways. And verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not what? Return to me void. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. That's why he said, listen, if you'll believe what I'm saying that's coming out of my mouth and who you are, you will prosper. You will what? Prosper. Why? Because my words will not return void. The only reason why they return void, now listen, is because it's never been established as a belief system. Does everybody get it? So when you truly believe it, it's in your spirit, you got it. It's not just head knowledge. It's in your belief system now. It's associated in your spirit. You believe it no matter what, it's changing everything. Now, the way that has to establish is to begin to sever emotional ties. And we're going to, like I said, we're going to talk more about that. But I want one more scripture. His thoughts won't return void, but will prosper. Belief system of his thought relate to the new image of self. For as he is, so are we. And the scripture tells us that. As he is, so are we. As, come on, say it with me. As he is, so are we. That's when his word will not return void. And I want to close in Genesis chapter 1. And the Bible tells us that God spoke to bring things into existence, didn't he? Amen? He spoke to things, didn't he? In verse 26, would you read it with me? Then God said, let us. Let who? Let us. Make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. This is the only place in all of creation that God spoke to himself. He what? He spoke to himself. He said, let us make man in our image and likeness. Everything else he spoke was to it, to it, to it, to it. Do y'all really understand that? So when he said, let us make man in our image and likeness, he spoke to himself and created something from himself. And that's where you and I come from. Do you understand that the enemy does not want you to have the self-image of who you are? You are in the image and likeness of the Creator. That's why what you speak, when your belief system is associated in divine position and divine order with the Creator, what you speak will not come back void. It's the only place that he had to speak to himself to create from him me and you. Everybody okay? Praise God. Lord, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed to be your children and to be created in your image and likeness. Born again. Directed by the mentor. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to impart in a mighty way. Make yourself so, so real in a mightier way. Visit us in dreams and visions. Show us and help our unbelief. Expose emotional attachments as we begin to sever these things, that we may be more in your image and likeness, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.